Somebody That We Don't Know by Nanorama. 1982. Petunia was running late. It made her feel itchy being behind, and she flitted from room to room, trying to manage.
Vernon, we need to be ready to leave. Will you stop fiddling with that and get your socks on?
Vernon froze, placing an old mobile from Dudley's room down quickly on the kitchen table. 10 little shrimps, all bobbing round in a circle. It had been Dudley's favorite, but he'd outgrown it. Plus, he wasn't really into shrimps anymore. Petunia still thought it was quite charming. At least she did when they weren't running 10 minutes late for the Grunnings' annual Easter bash. She wasn't sure what was so celebratory about Good Friday. It was probably a bit sacrilegious to get shit-faced on the day that Jesus was crucified. Or maybe it was the proper way to mourn. She wasn't sure, and it didn't matter. What mattered was that Vernon was on the up and up. Soon enough, he'd leave the piddling little screwdriver company behind. Soon enough, he'd work in drills. And it would all start tonight, with the Grunnings Easter Bash, the event of the season in the world of fasteners and joiners manufacturing. Petunia swept into the bathroom, smearing on another layer of cotton candy lipstick, and arranged her hair for the third time that evening. They were ready, she thought. All they needed now was... The doorbell clanged through the house. The babysitter. About bloody time. She hurried down the hall, stuffing the lipstick back into her handbag and straightening her skirt. The babysitter was new, someone she'd found from a flyer in the postbox last week. Perfect timing, really. But even if it was only a teenager, it never hurt to make a good first impression. If there was one thing teenagers knew how to do, it was gossip. Hooligans. She swung the front door open.
Finally! Do you know what time?
Petunia took in the boy in front of her, standing rather sheepishly on her front step. He was tall, much taller than she'd expected a teenage boy to be, but then again, some of them were quite weedy. He stood like he had never quite gotten used to his height, shoulders slouched and curled in on himself, hands stuffed in his trouser pockets. His cardigan had seen better days, with elbow patches, which seemed rather strange for a teenage boy. And he absolutely reeked of cigarette smoke. Hooligan, indeed. She raised an eyebrow.
You're a bit old for a babysitter, aren't you?
The boy, who looked very much like a man, Richie Limpet, the flyer had said, which she reminded herself with a squint of her eyes, looked at her blankly, seemingly unimpressed. Perhaps it was a shadow from the overhang, but she could swear he had fine lines around his eyes. When he spoke, his voice was a deep baritone.
I'm 16, ma'am.
The prominent streak of gray in his hair would suggest otherwise, but Petunia didn't have time to faff about. The bash began at 7 o'clock, and it was already 2:15.
The boys are upstairs, in their beds, but not asleep.
She stepped back into the foyer, headed towards the stairs. Richie hesitated in the doorway, seemingly uncomfortable.
Well?
Petunia snapped.
There wasn't time for this. Drills wait for no man.
Or woman, for that matter.
Are you coming in or not?
The babysitter seemed to come back to himself, shaking his head slightly, and removed his shoes before padding over to the stairs. Petunia led him to the boys' room, both in one for now. It was easier that way, although having Dudley in such close proximity to Harry made her nervous. Who knew what kind of an influence that boy might be?
Dudley,
she pointed towards her son, seemingly already asleep in his toddler bed, huddled in a mass of stuffed animals.
And Harry.
Another point, this time towards the skinny little thing with a mess of dark hair, sitting up in the camp cot at the far side of the room.
We'll be back by 1 in the morning, and for God's sake, don't touch anything.
If she hadn't already been bustling out of the room, gathering Vernon to fix his tie, she might have heard Richie's sharp intake of breath, might have heard him say, as she slammed the front door,
Hello, Harry.
1984. The clown had been Vernon's idea.
Birthday clown,
he'd huffed one night after Dudley had gone to bed and Harry was safely shut in his cupboard.
Every young lad loves a birthday clown. Even got a flyer for one in the post yesterday.
He pulled it from his trouser pocket and waved it about until Petunia had snatched it from him and scribbled down the details. It wasn't a bad idea. Better than having to entertain a mess of 4-year-olds by themselves, certainly. The clown arrived 10 minutes early, pulling into the drive in a tiny car bedecked with bells and whistles. He unfolded himself from the driver's seat, far too much leg for such a little vehicle, and stretched. He didn't look very cheerful for a clown, with a furrowed brow and a slight frown, but at least he'd gotten the red nose right. He walked up to the door, where Petunia was waiting with her arms crossed.
"Banana Joe, at your service," the clown said with a sigh, holding out a gloved hand.
Pathetic clown, really, and the least he could do was cheer up a bit. His clown, would you call it a uniform? Outfit, Petunia supposed, was bright blue, dotted with tiny yellow bananas, with a wide ruffle at the neck and pom-pom buttons down the chest. Horrific, and just the sort of thing that vapid little children went, well, bananas for.
"Round back," Petunia said briskly, arms stubbornly crossed. She would do a lot of things for her son, but shaking hands with a clown was not one of them. "Everyone's in the garden."
He looked disapprovingly at her crossed arms for a moment, with a raised brow, before sighing again.
"Great," he said. "Can't wait to see the birthday boy."
He was a shitty clown, Petunia decided some time later. He hadn't told a single joke, barely smiled, and his balloon animal skills were deplorable. He had handed Dudley a long, thin balloon, pink, blown up, but not twisted or shaped.
"It's a worm."
Pierce got a green one.
"Caterpillar."
Malcolm, a brown.
Stick bug.
Dennis, yellow.
Banana.
The boy had glared at him and demanded, "A real animal, you stupid clown!"
Banana Joe had taken the balloon back, turned it around a bit, and handed it back to Dennis unchanged.
"It's a banana dog, of course. Haven't you heard of those?"
Dennis had looked up at him in disdain, while Banana Joe shrugged.
"I suppose only the smartest kids know about them."
Dennis had glared some more, but begrudgingly accepted the balloon. Petunia had seen him behind the begonias later, throwing rocks, trying to teach his balloon to fetch. Daft little bugger. Somehow, Harry had walked away with a full balloon hat bedecked with flowers. It seemed to sparkle when you looked at it from the corner of your eye. Petunia squinted at it. Just the sun, perhaps. The boy had positively beamed, strutting around the garden in his poncy little hat, while the other kids attempted to play with their stick bugs and worms and caterpillars. When Dudley demanded a hat for himself, Banana Joe patted his pockets, coming up empty-handed.
"Fresh out of balloons. Sorry, kid."
The clown stayed long enough to sneak a piece of cake. Petunia caught him in the act, a smear of frosting marring his red face paint lips. She gave him a disapproving look, and he sighed. Did this bloody clown do anything but sigh? Swallowing the last bite.
"No cake for the clown, then?" he asked.
"It's not meant for you," Petunia replied, snatching the paper plate out of his hands.
"You're a right piece of work, aren't you?"
Banana Joe muttered, and Petunia glared. If looks could kill, this clown would be nothing but a pile of bones and a curly red wig. Banana Joe grinned ruefully.
"Well then, best be off."
He patted Harry absently on the head as he left, smiling at him. Petunia stood in the drive as he folded himself back into his tiny car and backed out of the drive, honking that stupid little horn.
Beep, beep.
One last goodbye honk, and the car rounded the corner, playing the circus theme through tinny little speakers, fading into the distance. She was never listening to Vernon again. Not about birthdays, and especially not about clowns. 1987. The park was always busy on Sundays. Stinky, usually, with all the children sweating in the sun. Child sweat had a very distinct smell, one Petunia was not fond of. It made her think of summer afternoons with Lily in their little meadow, and she tried not to think of Lily if she could help it. Dudley immediately ran to the playground, pushing a small girl off the swing set to haul himself up onto the seat.
"Careful, darling,"
Petunia cried out, rushing over to him and stepping over the girl still lying in the sand. "You might injure your wrists pushing kids about like that." She was checking Dudley thoroughly for bruises when she saw him, a man absolutely inundated with dogs, bent over and chatting with Harry. The boy was sitting happily in the grass, Chihuahua in his lap, chattering on about God knows what with some stranger wearing a huge wide-brimmed hat and sunglasses. He looked like he was about to go on a safari. All he was missing was a pair of binoculars strung around his neck. Petunia might not like Harry, but she didn't want him to get abducted either. Brushing sand from Dudley's pants and setting him back upon the swing, she bustled over to the stranger and her nephew.
"Harry," she snapped, "what are you doing over here?"
"I'm just talking to Robert, Aunt Petunia," Harry replied. "He's looking after Mrs. Lorch's dogs while she's away."
The man, Robert, glanced at Petunia and nodded.
"Holidaying in the Virgin Islands. She sends her regards."
Petunia doubted that. Mrs. Lorch didn't have much regard for the Dursleys when she let her 7 canines shit all over their front lawn. She didn't know why the Virgin Islands would change that. Maybe being around that many virgins changed a person. Petunia wouldn't know.
"Does she? And she's tasked you with taking care of her creatures while she's away?"
He looked disapprovingly at her over the frames of his sunglasses.
"I'd hardly call them creatures," he said, poking at the flabby belly of the Basset Hound. "This one is called Beef. Does he seem like a creature to you?"
Beef wriggled in the dirt, exposing his fleshy belly to the sky, and Petunia grimaced.
"What else would you suggest I call them?"
He shrugged.
"Dogs, maybe?"
Harry piped up from under a pile of dogs, not just Chihuahua now. Petunia spotted a leg of some kind of retriever, some distinctly wolfhound hair tickling Harry's chin, his arms wrapped happily around the potbelly of a pug.
"I like dogs."
"You'll get fleas," Petunia snapped,
grabbing Harry's arm and shaking him free of the puppy pile.
"You're probably already infected."
"The dogs are clean. Bathed them myself this morning,"
Robert said, idly scratching a St. Bernard behind the ears.
"Not a flea in sight."
Petunia spared a moment to wonder about the mechanics of one man bathing 7 dogs without some kind of miracle, or, God forbid, magic. She suppressed a shudder at the thought, and then chuckled inwardly. Surely, if this man were a wizard, he could magic himself a less ridiculous outfit. She brushed dog hair from Harry's jumper, muttering to herself about fleas and ticks and pests, and promised herself that if Dudley scratched even once, there would be hell to pay.
"Robert is really good with dogs, Aunt Petunia. He said I could come and play with them whenever he's in the park."
"Did he now?"
Petunia said, shooting a sharp glance at the strange man, who seemed to have taken a liking to her nephew. He didn't look like a pervert, but God knows you never really could tell. Behind those sunglasses might be the eyes of a killer. Under that hat may rest the brain of a socialist. You had to be careful with these sorts of things.
"Can I come back tomorrow to play with Beef and Lenny and—"
"No, you may not,"
Petunia snapped. Robert, Harry, and 7 dogs pouted up at her. There was nothing quite as grotesque as a pouting Chihuahua.
"Ah, well, nice to meet you, Harry," the dog walker said, standing and straightening leashes.
He extended a hand, and the boy shook it with gravitas. He didn't extend the same courtesy to Petunia. Petunia huffed at the slight. It hadn't been nice to meet him either. She grabbed Harry by the hand, probably covered in drool and vermin, and they hurried back towards Dudley, who had that little girl by the swings in a headlock. She didn't look back, but Petunia was sure she could feel 8 sets of eyes watch them go.
Pervert.
1989. It was 11 in the morning, Petunia was on her 3rd cup of tea, and the drip was getting worse. It had started the night before, just after the washing up, but before they turned in for the evening. A solid plop, 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 ticking the seconds of Petunia's life away,
She had tried everything to no avail. Opening and closing taps, crossing her arms and looking disapprovingly at the U-bend. But still, it dripped on. Vernon hadn't been much help, but then again, the man worked in drills, not drips. So what hope was there for him? He'd gotten out the latest model of Grunning's finest and whizzed it about in the air a bit, looking thoughtful. Or as thoughtful as he could look, at least. She hadn't married the man for his brain. Finally, she decided it was time for some professional support. And luckily enough, just that morning a flyer had come in the mail. Remy Luskin, the faucet fixer, for all your dripping tap needs. Petunia appreciated a man who specialized. He arrived on a Sunday, dungarees soiled with something dark and smelling vaguely of oil. He had a large and rather distinct mustache, much darker than his sandy hair, but Petunia found it rather dashing. He was dashing on the whole, really. A true handyman, with a tool belt slung low around a narrow waist and ropey forearms showcased by his rolled-up sleeves. He extended a scarred hand. Plumbing was a rather dangerous profession, now that Petunia thought about it, which she shook, delicately. "Nice to meet you, ma'am. It's Me." He cleared his throat. "Remy Luskin."
"It's just the kitchen tap, Mr. Luskin. It's been dripping for days now."
Remy looked carefully at the tap itself, twisting both knobs back and forth with deft fingers. He bent over, examining the pipes, and presenting Petunia with a rather appealing view, not that she would admit to looking. But who could resist a man in a tool belt? "Ah, yes," Remy said. "Here's your problem." He tapped the faucet with a wrench. "Deteriorated O-ring. An easy fix." Petunia nodded sagely. "O-ring, of course." She hovered behind him, examining the sink over his shoulder as he explained. She resisted the urge to hold onto his arm to steady herself, but she did wonder what it might feel like under her fingers. Maybe she should buy Vernon a tool belt. "We just need to pop out the faucet and muck around a bit, and it should be right as rain."
"Very good, then," Petunia said. "I'll leave you to it."
He raised a palm to the back of his neck, and Petunia didn't notice the way it made his bicep swell slightly. "Actually, I hate to be a bother, but do you happen to have, I don't know, a nephew or something?" He chuckled. "It would be helpful to have someone with skinnier arms than mine, for getting into hard-to-reach places." Petunia did notice his biceps then. He sighed. "Actually, never mind. I'm being ridiculous. Of course you don't have a..."
"I do,"
Petunia offered eagerly.
"My nephew, Harry. He'd be happy to help."
Remy flashed her a quick grin, and her knees went wobbly. Maybe she should convince Vernon to grow a mustache.
"I'll just go collect him for you."
He smiled again and turned back to the sink, muttering to himself, and she kept a hand on the wall to steady herself as she went to fetch Harry from his cupboard. Bloody knees, bloody biceps, bloody tool belts. The work took longer than she had anticipated it would. All afternoon, clinks and clanks from the kitchen intermingled with low conversation. She didn't watch, but she did peek in every once in a while. Remy was kneeling, speaking to Harry in a low voice. Harry knelt as well, peeking under the sink, oil smeared across the bridge of his nose, likely from a dirty hand pushing up his glasses. The boy laughed at something Remy said, and Remy smiled, tousling his hair. They were quite domestic. For a moment, Petunia bristled. She had skinny arms. She could have helped just as well. Could have, perhaps, had her own hair tousled by the plumber. Not that she wanted that, of course. Not that she was curious about what it might feel like to have his fingers run through her hair. Petunia bustled into the kitchen in a huff. It was only right to check in every once in a while to make sure he was all right, and, well, it was no skin off her back. Or his, which was quite well-muscled, she thought.
"Is Harry behaving himself?"
she asked, hovering in the doorway. Harry scowled up at her, but she didn't give him the satisfaction of a response. Not with company about, at least. "He's been wonderful," Remy said. "Extremely helpful. I think we're just about finished up now. What do you say, Harry? All fixed up?" Harry looked thoughtfully at the sink and nodded. Shall we test it out?
With a grin, Harry sprang to his feet. Mr. Luskin stood, grabbing Harry under the arms and swinging him up to sit on top of the counter. Petunia tutted under her breath disapprovingly. She would have to make Harry wipe down those counters later. Harry placed a hand on the tap and looked up at Remy expectantly.
Now?
No time like the present.
Harry wrenched open the tap, and it worked perfectly. Clear water streamed into the basin, and with a nod from Remy, he shut the tap again. Not a drip.
Wonderful work, Harry.
Remy looked satisfied, smiling as he lifted Harry from the countertop.
A job very well done.
O-ring all sorted, then?
Petunia asked, edging a bit closer to peer into the sink.
Oh, yes. Shouldn't bother you again for some time.
Pity.
Petunia settled up, distinctly ignoring the casual brush of his fingers against hers as she handed him some notes. With one more smile at Harry and a nod to Petunia, Remy Luskin was gone. The house seemed a bit too quiet in his wake. 2 months later, when the upstairs bath wouldn't drain, Petunia carefully retrieved the flyer for a certain plumber that she had kept squirreled away in her bits and bobs drawer. Not that she had kept it for any reason in particular, but it was hard to find good help these days. She dialed and held her breath, not waiting to hear the voice of what might have been the best and handsomest plumber she's ever known, but not waiting for it either. Just the dial tone. The number had been disconnected. Petunia swallowed her disappointment. Remy Luskin was nothing more than a memory, living on only in the tool belt Petunia purchased for Vernon that Christmas. It wasn't quite the same. 1990. Fall always awoke dread in Petunia. Bad memories, maybe. Sister murder, she supposed, might have had something or other to do with it. Plus, she had never really liked autumn. Spicy or something made her nose twitch. An uncomfortable season. So when October rolled around once again, she felt a familiar, sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach. It was the same every year. Dead sister or no, nothing elicited the same existential dread as a parent-teacher conference. She and Vernon bustled into the classroom at 7 o'clock sharp. Wouldn't do to be late, because you never knew what kind of smoothing over you'd need to do at these things. Dudley was a darling boy, but Petunia had to admit that he had a tendency to be misunderstood. The classroom was empty, no one behind the desk. Petunia double-checked her watch. Not early.
"Where's the bastard?"
Vernon huffed. A crack, skull on wood, and a rather vulgar swear from the vicinity of the desk.
"Fuck! Christ, that—"
A head, belonging to what appeared to be a tawny-haired man, poked out from behind the desk, like a meerkat checking the desert for danger. When he saw Petunia and Vernon, he colored slightly.
"Ah, hello."
He stood, unfolding himself from the floor. He was all limbs.
"I was just taking a bit of a... well, dropped a... pen. Awfully dark under desks, did you know?"
Petunia and Vernon stood in silence and waited for the man to brush dust from the knees of his trousers, straightening his jacket and appearing to ready himself for battle. He wore a rather ill-fitting tweed suit in 6 different shades of brown. If it weren't for the scar bisecting his eyebrow and the flash of something animal in his eye, he would look rather like a bowl of oatmeal. He also looked rather like... but no, Regis Lumpkin didn't sound at all like Remy Luskin. Any resemblance must be a coincidence. And Mr. Lumpkin didn't have the mustache, of course. What a shame. Having collected himself, the man gestured to the chairs set up in front of the teacher's desk.
"Please, sit."
They sat, still silent, waiting for the oatmeal meerkat man to organize the papers on his desk.
"Mr. and Mrs. Dursley?"
Petunia nodded.
"I'm Regis Lumpkin. I've been a short-term substitute for Mrs. Gerben's class for about a month now. It's a pleasure to meet you."
Vernon grumbled in his seat next to Petunia.
"Dudley's mentioned you."
"Oh, has he? Only good things, I hope."
Dudley had ranted for 2 days about Mr. Lumpkin and his stupid bloody books.
Of course, Petunia replied.
Glad to hear it. I would actually like to speak about Dudley to begin. He's... well... Mr. Lumpkin paused, a grimace flashing across his face. He's a bit... destructive.
Petunia huffed. He's a growing boy. He's just learning his strength.
Mr. Lumpkin raised a brow. He kicked a cardboard box so hard when it hit Sarah in the face, she had to get 3 stitches.
Vernon butt in with a bluster.
You can't expect a 10-year-old to have perfect aim.
What was he aiming for?
Doubt it was her face.
Mr. Dursley, no 10-year-old should kick a box with that kind of force in the classroom, regardless of where they're trying to kick it. Petunia pursed her lips. He just didn't understand.
Mr. Lumpkin, our boy is... well, I don't appreciate you trying to curb his enthusiasm for sport.
He looked blankly at her, and she crossed her arms. Enthusiasm for sport, he repeated. Vernon leaned forward, resting a palm on the desk.
He shows all the signs of being an exceptional wrestler, and you will not pussyfoot it out of the boy. Boys play rough. Let the lad live a little, for God's sake.
There was nothing on Mr. Lumpkin's face but a flash of something that seemed suspiciously like exasperation. But Petunia must have been imagining the eye roll. Teachers didn't roll their eyes at parents. It was meant to be the other way around. Might I suggest, then, Mr. Lumpkin said, enrolling Dudley in a sport to hone his rather vicious instincts. We have a good boxing team here, and I'm sure Coach would make sure he was well trained.
We'll consider it, Petunia said curtly. This had gone on for more than long enough. Coronation Street was due to start at any second.
She rose, gathering her handbag.
Thank you, Mr. Lumpkin. I'm sure you're quite busy, so we'd best be getting home.
Mr. Lumpkin looked confused, scarred brow furrowing. Don't you want to talk about Harry?
Who?
Your nephew.
Oh.
Petunia sat with a sigh, resigning herself to reruns.
Him.
Vernon chuckled.
It's all right, Mr. Lumpkin. We know he's a bad egg. We've done everything we can for the boy, but some kids just can't be fixed.
Mr. Lumpkin hummed, looking down at his notes. His grades are solid. Consistent, but not exceptional.
Yes, well, Petunia snapped. He's rather ordinary, isn't he?
A strangled wheeze from across the desk. Perhaps Mr. Lumpkin was asthmatic.
Right, I suppose you could say that. Surprised he didn't get expelled for that roof stunt, Vernon muttered.
Mr. Lumpkin's eyes flashed, and his tone went cold. Not that it had been particularly warm to begin with.
I hardly think trying to find a safe place warrants expulsion, Mr. Dursley.
Vernon bristled, and Petunia sighed, jumping in to break up the inevitable yelling match.
Yes, we understand that you're a bleeding heart, Mr. Lumpkin.
Men.
He visibly deflated. Whatever righteous underdog energy he had vanished as he rubbed at his eyes. He was less meerkat now, more dejected raccoon.
Right.
He propped one cheek up on his knuckles as he leant an elbow on the desk.
If you could try to be a bit more supportive of Harry, it would benefit him a lot. Who knows? You might even come to enjoy building him up rather than tearing him down.
Petunia tutted. Not bloody likely.
We'll take that under advisement.
Of course you will.
Thank you for your time.
Petunia and Vernon stood, gathering their jackets, and made for the door. She glanced back at Mr. Lumpkin as Vernon pulled on his coat. The man seemed held together by string and cigarettes, and she wasn't sure she'd ever seen a more pitiful expression. And this was a man meant to be sculpting the minds of the nation's youth? Anyone would take pity on a man that looked like that.
For what it's worth, Petunia began, haltingly, Harry speaks very highly of you. Not that I listen much, but it's something, I suppose.
Mr. Lumpkin brightened, smiling for the first time that evening.
Does he?
One compliment was difficult enough. Petunia hardly wanted to continue a conversation with the man. A curt nod, and she hurried out the door, pulling Vernon behind her. If they walked quickly, she could still catch the end of Coronation Street. 1991. One of these years, they were going to run out of inane activities to do on Dudley's birthdays.
"Zoo," Vernon had huffed. "Every young lad loves the zoo. Even got a flyer for it in the post yesterday."
The zoo was a hellhole. Petunia had a headache as soon as they set foot in the car park, and it only got worse from there. Screaming children and screaming animals competing for the loudest bloody noise award. At least Dudley had Pierce to entertain him. The boys raced from animal enclosure to animal enclosure, prodding at the glass. Dudley nearly knocked over a trash can in his haste to watch a marmoset eat a banana. Harry lagged behind, dragging his feet from giraffe to antelope to gibbon. The boy was bringing down the mood. Petunia turned back to drag him up to the monkey cages, when his face brightened, gaze fastened on something behind her.
"Mr. Lumpkin, what are you doing here?"
Petunia spun around, and there he was, Mr. Regis Lumpkin in the flesh. He seemed startled, like he wasn't expecting to be noticed. Petunia didn't quite know how anyone could fail to notice him. He was quite a noticeable man. Taller than he knew what to do with spindly arms and shoes that he must have bought in the 70s.
"Oh, hello, Harry. Mrs. Dursley."
"You work at the zoo?"
Harry questioned. He shifted on his feet, palming the back of his neck. He'd grown his hair out since the last time he subbed for the boys' class, nearly 6 months ago, but it was certainly him. The scar across his eyebrow was hidden by a hat, proudly requesting that they ask me about my kids, printed next to a picture of two smiling goats.
"Ah, yes. Before I went into teaching, I, got my degree in wolf science."
"Wolf science?" Petunia asked.
"Yes," Mr. Lumpkin replied. "The science of, wolves."
"How fascinating."
Petunia was not fascinated. Wolves were just glorified dogs. They would probably leave glorified shits on your front lawn.
"Rather. How is Dudley?"
Dudley and Pierce were by the ape enclosure, practicing their punches on a cardboard cutout of a gorilla. The dull thud of meaty fist on cardboard cut through the general din of the zoo. Petunia winced.
"Very well, thank you.
Mr. Lumpkin, can you show me the wolves?"
Harry chirped up from beside her. She shot him a look, but he continued.
"If you're a wolf scientist, I bet you know all sorts of neat stuff about them."
Mr. Lumpkin gave Harry a fond smile.
"I'd love to, as long as your aunt..."
Petunia crossed her arms. She wouldn't mind a break from one child for a minute or two, and Dudley and Pierce had succeeded in punching a hole straight through that gorilla, under Vernon's careful tutelage.
"Yes, fine, but behave."
Harry grabbed Mr. Lumpkin by the hand, dragging him off towards the native animals. The teacher laughed, slowing their pace.
"Hold on, Harry. Now, did you know that wolves are very protective of their packs? They form very strong social bonds."
Petunia watched them drift around the corner, chatting about pack dynamics, before turning back to her family and pushing up the sleeves of her jumper. She had an appointment with two boys and a cardboard gorilla. 1993. The Hogwarts Express always felt a bit like home to Harry, like coming back to an old friend, full of the kind of anticipation that settled like a comforting weight in his lap. The kind you scratch behind the ears when it gets too antsy and calm with a whisper of, "Soon now." He passed compartment after compartment, all lit up with students chattering inside, as Hermione and Ron bickered behind him. Finally, at the very end of the train, an empty box. Well, mostly. A man was tucked into the corner, sleeping softly. A streak of gray in his hair, a scar through his eyebrow, and a smidgen of drool at the corner of his mouth. He looked strangely familiar. If it wasn't impossible, Harry would have thought he was... Harry let the compartment door slam shut, and the man jerked away with a curse.
"Mr. Lumpkin?"
The man Harry knew as Regis Lumpkin blinked, and a slow smile spread across his face. Warm, like Harry was precious.
"Hello, Harry,"